This podcast contains strong language and adult themes from the outset. And I've got a question for you, obviously, as always.
Yeah, hit me. With your rhythm stick. Do you remember that?
Yeah. That's an Alan Partridge line as well.
Hit me with your rhythm stick. Yeah.
How do you feel that I, on Sunday, bought a white hoodie?
Oh, dear. I think you might have made a mistake.
Do you think I'll wear it any more than once?
No. Also, you wearing white...
But this is
never
going
to work because
the hoodie's really nice, but it's me.
Yeah.
Like,
do you mean it's you in the sense because of your problems with spilling shit down your front?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about if I wear that when I eat tomato soup?
No. I think the only time you can wear that is if you're not going to eat anything.
Yeah. I mean, think of the weight loss.
If you're going to be going out and you know there's going to be no kind of food or beverage involved, you can wear it. If there's a likelihood that you might eat something, forget it. Or get yourself a bib.
When I got home and I showed Matthew he stared at me for ages, frowned at me and went, "Why did you buy a white hoodie?"
Yeah.
And I said, because I really like it. And he was like, "Nah, forget it. You're fucked. You'll wear that once. It's over. You may as well just burn the money that you used on it.
Yeah.
Because it's just a waste of money."
Is it just sheer white? There's nothing else on it. There's no sort of pattern or writing or anything.
There's a little thing on the left breast that says 1982.
Oh, is that because that's the year next to a...
Yeah, but it's also the year I was born, which is why I quite liked it.
Right. Okay.
So I thought that's quite cool, isn't it?
Right. You know? Yeah. But yeah, it is a risk. That's a risky purchase, I think, for you, Pat, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah.
I think you're asking for a lot of trouble with that. You'll end up with like, because you will wear it and you'll wear it when you eat. You will spill shit down it and then you'll have stains and then you'll just not ever wear it again.
No, but what will happen is I'll wear it, I'll spill something down it, and I'll think I've got it out. And I'll come and see you, and you'll go, "Pat, what's that on your jumper?"
Yeah, like, exactly.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, yeah.
That's when I ate sushi and I got some soya sauce down it.
What did you call it? Soya sauce?
Soya sauce. I always call it soya sauce.
It's just soy sauce, not soya
sauce. For my whole life, I have called it soya sauce.
What is wrong with you? You say so many things wrong.
When you just said then, now, what did you call it? In my head, I went, "Why? What have I done wrong?" I've called it.
It's just soy. S-O-Y. Soy.
Why have I called it soya sauce?
Were you thinking it was like sort of like some sort of relation to the soya bean or something?
No, I don't know why, but I've forever, my whole life until this very moment now on this podcast, with you saying, "What did you say?" made me go, "Oh shit, have I said something wrong?"
I can't believe you've been calling it soya sauce.
Yeah. I mean, it's like Carson Grayskull. If you don't know what we're talking about, go back and listen to last week's episode. It's a funny one, and
I
get it round the wrong way.
Yeah,
I mean, there's been so many. One of my favourites of all time that I've got wrong was Watership Down.
Yeah, but also one of my favourites is Helen Le Bonham Carter. Again, if you haven't listened, that's quite an old one, isn't it?
Yeah,
that one.
Very
that's going
old.
Back
that
a while.
That was when I was doing the edit myself. Don't bother going back to listen to that one. Is shit.
No, but it is quite funny. Just that segment where
just
Patty thinks her name is Helen Le Bonham Carter, not just Helena Bonham Carter.
Yeah.
So we had this whole chat then about, I always thought her name was Helen Le Bonham Carter.
I've said soya sauce my whole life. Soya sauce. That is ridiculous.
Have you never seen it written down?
Yes, but I've never registered. I've still always called it soya sauce. Anyway, last week we had some chat about detective work, didn't we?
We did.
About
we had
drunken nights where you've had to, you know. I had a couple of people message me.
Cutlers.
I had a cutlers. This came in from somebody on Instagram, and they said, I took a trip to Venice, six of us. It turned into the hangover. Nobody had a clue after 1 a.m. what they were doing. It transpired we'd ended up on a stag do in an open-air club until 6 a.m. as one of the girls knew the stag. It was the most random night of my life. One went missing, and it turned out she spent an hour on the beach on her own looking at the stars. One ended up sleeping with the best man, another with his cousin. It was total and utter carnage. All started in Venice from a very civilised dinner.
I mean, that is shitting unbelievable, Jeff.
And then Ad on Instagram messaged me saying, oh, yes, I've got way too many, causing hangover anxiety. Drunk in Bournemouth, somehow woke up back in my hometown of Bucks. Not a clue. There was just a picture of a wheelchair on my phone. One shoe missing. That was it. Totally horrendous. I don't drink really these days anymore.
Oh my gosh.
I was in Bournemouth, ended up in Bucks. There's a picture of a wheelchair on my phone. I'm missing a shoe. God, what happened in the middle of that?
Do you know what, though? Weirdly, I would like to kind of end up in those situations sometimes.
Well, I think it would be fun afterwards. Yeah. I mean, in the moment, it'd be like, there's something quite terrifying about it, though, isn't there?
Well, no, I think I'd quite like it.
You'd embrace it.
Yeah. I kind of feel that's something I need to put on my bucket list. So just literally
so pissed, you don't know what you're doing.
Yes, I haven't got a clue. Right. Because I think I'm always quite in control of that. Like,
we've got a swanky Christmas event, 16th of December.
December. Yeah.
We're going to stay in London. Let's do it.
I think if I was ever going to do that, I'd have to really choose where, when, and who that happened with.
Right.
And I don't think I could risk that at that event.
At a swanky event, right.
No, okay, with people that I don't know that well.
That you're also semi-still trying to impress.
Exactly. It would not be a good... You know, I'd have to go with, like, you know, people that I really knew really well and I'd known them for a long time, and I could just absolutely lose it. Yeah. Lose it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, we did have a very good message through from the bloody wonderful Ruth Jones.
Amazing.
Yeah, yeah. She said, so, as we know...
She listens a lot, doesn't she?
Ruth is a big fan of the FTF.
She's a big FTF fan, yeah.
She is.
She sends us messages and stuff a lot, doesn't she?
Yeah, she does. She's bloody wonderful. So, she'd obviously listened to last week's ep and then sent me this message. Hi there, Ange. Many, many years ago, around 2006, I think, roughly, one of the worst things I ever did when I was drunk in terms of texting/emailing is I contacted my friend in New Zealand who I'd known since we were children and told her that I would pay for her to fly over to the UK so she could visit. I had no money. This was years and years ago. The next day, she got back to me and said she was so excited. As you can imagine, there was a lot of backpedaling going on. So, yeah, even the wonderful Ruth Jones does this drunk texting, drunk emailing behaviours.
That is hilarious.
I mean, that is your classic Jones, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Classic
that is
Jones.
So funny.
Yeah.
Saying, I mean, can you imagine sending that email, waking up the next day thinking, shit, I've got to pay a flight from Australia. It's not even like she lived in Barcelona or something.
No.
From Australia.
Yeah.
The other side of the world.
Yeah.
Okay, so I found a Urban Dictionary this week.
Yes, go on, Pats.
Big hat, no cattle.
Big hat, no cattle.
Yeah.
Big hat, no cattle. Is it referring to like a man who thinks he's like Bertie Big Bollocks, but actually he's, no one's interested in him at all.
Someone who presents themselves as a person of great importance, but whose actual credentials are seriously fucking questionable. Just ignore that fool Matt and his bullshit history lectures. He's just so big hat with no cattle.
I wasn't this, far off there, was I?
Oh, isn't that brilliant, though?
Yeah.
Just seeing somebody just... I can just imagine me and you being somewhere and me just coming up really close to you and just going, see that guy over there?
Yeah.
Big hat, no cattle, mate.
Big hat, no cattle. Yeah.
I mean, that is like the typical... like, you know, thinks he's some kind of like Bertie Big Bollocks.
Bertie Big Bollocks, yeah. I mean, I was not far off, was I?
You pretty much nailed it.
I did, didn't I?
But I just think it's such an interesting...
Yeah.
Big hat, no
hat,
cattle.
No cattle.
So he thinks he's some kind of important farmer. Like, he's, you know, he's got all this shit going on. Yeah, he's dealing with cows. He's, you know, probably...
Well, he's not, is he? Because he hasn't got any cattle.
No, but that's what he thinks he's doing.
Right, I see.
Like,
yeah,
he thinks he's constantly herding cows, putting out fires, telling everybody what they're great at, telling everybody what they're not so great at.
Yeah.
Going out on his horse at weekends, you know, driving his fast car. And actually, mate... Yeah. You haven't got one single cattle.
No.
Who do you think in your life is the most big hat, no cattle person you know? James.
Well, I was actually going to say you. That was just for the gags. That was just for the gags, Pats. It was just
a
classic. You lined it up.
No cattle.
I think you can be sometimes.
Right. How do you think I can be big hat, no cattle?
Big cat, no cattle.
Big cat, no cattle. How do you think I can be big hat, no cattle?
I think it comes back to what we were talking about at the top.
Right.
In that sometimes you're so sure about what you're talking about. You say it with such conviction that the amount of times we have been chatting, right, and you've been so sure about it, and I've then gone, oh yeah, well you're probably right, because I automatically doubt myself, because I'm more likely to go, I am probably wrong because Patty is generally right, but I'm actually starting to think you're not right as often as you think you are. So. I think sometimes you can fall into the big hat, no cattle vibe at times.
With the complete opposite for you. You never fall into that.
No.
No, that's just not your vibe.
No, I am more likely to... Well,
boring.
I just don't... Yeah,
you're
I just
boring.
Don't have a hat or any cattle.
You're vanilla, like we said last week.
I'm not fucking vanilla.
What about beige?
I am not beige.
I mean, you're right. This podcast wouldn't work with anyone that was beige, would it?
No.
There's nothing beige about you. But you're...
I'm just not... I think I'm... I know very little about most things.
That is
so
true, actually.
It is. And I'm
Whereas
so...
I am quite educated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think... Yeah, I just think you have always probably been that way, whereas I am more likely to kind of... I'm just more likely to just sit back and let other people talk a lot of the time. I don't need to be...
That's changing, though, for the better.
Yeah. I just think I don't feel I ever know a huge amount to say about anything, so I just don't say it.
Is there anyone else in your life that you think is big hat, no cattle?
Big hat,
I think
no
Mardy can fall into this a bit, my husband.
Yes, Mardy, yes.
He can sometimes be really like Bertie Big Boy.
Yes, yeah.
And then you dig a little deeper and he's like, no, actually, that isn't what happened.
You shoot him down.
Yeah, and I'm like, no, and he's like, yeah, actually, she's right, that isn't what happened.
You basically put a gun to his head and go, Mardy, you're wrong. Bang, you're dead.
You know what? There's so many people who know me really, really well who are going to listen to this episode and be like, that's Ruth.
There we go.
That's our Patty.
There's our Patty.
So yeah, that was my Urban Dictionary one. And what I would like people to do this week is I'd love people to get in touch with big hat, no cattle stories that you've got of people who are so sure of something.
Who are those people in your life?
Who
that are the big hat?
And what are
no
the stories
cattles.
That go along with it? How how
to
have
prove
you
that.
Them out? Yes.
Yeah.
So there's loads of ways you can get in touch with us. You can find us both on Instagram. I'm at Ruth Corden.
and I'm at Ange Corden. You can find us on Facebook. Just search Finding the Funny Podcast. Or you can send us an email, hello@ruthcorden.com.
Okay, Ange.
Right.
Come on then. What's getting on them? What's getting on your shitting tits?
The thing that's getting on my shitting tits is brunch.
Oh, God, I love brunch.
Brunch. I hate brunch. I hate people talking about brunch. I hate people saying, I'm going for brunch. Just, it's a late breakfast.
Or an early lunch.
No, because, no, right, this is, and this is my theory, right?
Right.
If you're going for brunch, you don't have a ham sandwich, do you? No, exactly. You're having your toasties, your shitty avocados, your eggs, your porridges, your granolas, your smoothies. That is the shit you are having at brunch, which is actually breakfast. You are not going for brunch and having a ham sandwich or a BLT.
You might do.
No. Okay, right. So when you go for brunch,
yeah.
What have you had at brunch for brunch? Off you go. There we go.
You've just
proven my point because you don't.
Why
I know you don't.
Such a problem with that. What about a bottomless brunch?
No, I just don't like brunch. Just stop calling it brunch. I love a word merge, right? I'm very big on the merging of words.
Yeah,
I like that shit.
I like this.
But brunch now has gotten out of control.
Is it like
everything?
Coffee?
Everything is brunching shit. Brunching that I'm meeting so and so for brunch. Shall we meet for brunch? No. Let's either have breakfast or lunch.
Right.
It's really
what about a dinner? Nobody's going around doing that, are they?
Exactly. It should be called a leckfast. A late breakfast.
Yeah, but nobody's going around going, hey, look, guys, you want to meet at 4 for a dinner?
Well, the thing is, if you're going to do that, that's what it is. It actually wouldn't be a dinner, would it? It would be a late dinner.
It would be an early dinner. No, a lunch and a dinner.
Lunch and a dinner.
Because breakfast and lunch is brunch. Lunch and a dinner would be dinner.
Just stop dicking around with it, basically. Just go for breakfast or lunch.
Can you imagine if that started?
Yeah. Should we meet for dinner?
Hey, look, guys, I've got a 7 o'clock meeting, but I could do dinner at 4. Are you up for it?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I can't actually because I'm doing... No, forget it. That's not going to work because I'm doing brunch at 2. Brunch at 2?
And that's why we just need to stop with it. We just need to start having a breakfast, a lunch, and a dinner. And if you're having a later breakfast, then call it a leckfast.
I actually love brunch.
I hate
it. I love the merge of breakfast and lunch.
No.
Of like sitting down.
I think you sound like a twat.
Do you? Why?
Yeah, I do. I just don't like that whole... If someone said to me, Anne, should we meet for brunch? I'd say, do you know what, Stacey? Fuck off.
Stacey, you go with Stacey Solomon.
I'm going with Stacey Solomon.
You'd be like, Stacey, I'm not meeting for brunch. I'll come over to the house and you can cook me a breakfast, but I'm not meeting for brunch.
Who is eating a sandwich at 11?
No one. You do raise a valid point there, which is annoying. You do raise a very valid point, which has pissed me off a little bit because you're right. There's no lunch category.
No
brunch is there.
Exactly. It's all breakfast.
It's
shit.
Breakfast. It's a late
it's breakfast.
It's a late.
Yeah.
You're right. It's a late first.
Yeah. It's a late first. Yeah. If you want to be calling anything, it's a late first.
Yeah.
So if that's what you want to do, that's fine. We can do that, Stace. But it's a leckfast. It's not a brunch.
We can do that, Stace. I'll come out with you and do this. It's fine.
Yeah,
it's fine.
I'm fine to have some eggs and toast and some
avocado
and some chili flakes and some lime. But it's a leckfast. It's not a brunch.
Okay. Well.
So there we go.
I like a brunch, but you're right. I'm not going for brunch and having a ham sandwich. You're absolutely spot on the money. So.
Yeah. So, and I appreciate you accepting that I'm right.
I'm eye rolling right now for being fucking right. And I've had to actually say the words.
Yeah.
Like, I can't argue with it anymore.
Yeah.
I'm sat at my desk, shaking my head like one of those dogs that people have in the back of their cars as I speak and rolling my fucking eyes right at you.
Yeah. and I am grinning from ear to ear.
Yeah, well, you're just sat there fucking smug as anything.
Yep, I am. Yep. Yes, I am.
Smugtastic. Smug Ange, the worst Ange you can ever possibly meet.
Smange. Smange. You see, that's a good mashup. That's a good merge.
That's a good word merge.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to come into some of our dickish behaviours now. We had a dickish behaviour in from Sarah on the gram, and Sarah says, individually sent text or WhatsApp messages in sentence rather than one longer paragraph, making your phone ping incessantly. I do this.
Yeah, you do. I mean, this is actually being quite an attack on you.
Yeah, today it has. Yeah, I mean, they all feel semi like that. I'm not gonna lie. All episodes feel about like a 15% attack on me. This one feels like a 75%.
Honestly, as soon as you started reading that dickish behaviour out, I was thinking, oh shit, this is another thing that
I do that, don't I?
You do. Why do you do that? Why don't you just write the whole thing out and send it?
Because it's like I've got to get the message to you. It's like so I read your message, and because you and I are quite unusual in this day and age, Ange, we never WhatsApp, do we? Unless we're WhatsApping in a group with James or mum and dad or whatever.
Or the big dicks.
Really, or the big dicks. We are texters. Individually, us two, we are big on the iMessage.
I much prefer an iMessage to a WhatsApp.
Well, yeah, because you can't see when people have read it, and that's why because you can ignore it.
Yeah,
you can read it and go. I've been with you at points, and a WhatsApp's come up on your phone, on your watch, on your Apple Watch, and you've gone, I can't read all of it out because I'll have to open my phone, and then they'll see that I've read it, and I don't want that.
So
you like, you get halfway down, you're like, and then I said to him, "That's all I can see." Sorry, Pats, I can't give you the last bit of that really juicy message. It's full of gossip that we both want to hear. So I don't want the sender to know I've read it. So.
I do that.
You do that all the time.
Which is why the Apple Watch is great.
Well, no, because it gives you half a story.
Well, I don't care. Because probably what it's going to be is probably quite shit anyway.
Yeah, that is true.
So, yeah, I'm not bothered.
But what happens with me is I read it and I'm like, right, I want to say this. And I send that, and then I send it and I think, oh, no, actually, maybe perhaps sometimes I'll send it and I think, oh, perhaps I was a bit harsh there. Then you follow it up with a laughing
emoji.
Yeah, so people know that you were joking. And then you think, oh, actually, in that first message, I forgot to say I'll be over at 4. I better put that, I'll be over at 4. Oh, no, actually, the traffic's quite bad. It might be closer to 4:45.
Right, so
that's what goes on in my head.
Right, so I think the lesson for you in this, right, is just to slow down a bit.
But I can't, can I? That's not me.
Why?
Mate. That is not me. Well, I am a bull in a china shop vibe.
But that doesn't mean that you can't become less bullish.
Matthew once called me, I think he meant to say gracious, but in a message he called me graceful. I couldn't stop laughing. I was like, of all the things I've ever been called, graceful is not one of them. It's not like up there on the list of things. You know, so have you ever met Ruth Corden? Oh yeah, I know well. Can you list off what she's like? Graceful would not be up there, would it? Clumsy, opinionated, sometimes a bit too much.
No, but I think that is your problem. I think just slow it down, take a breather.
Sometimes reply in individual sentences though.
Not very often.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, no, I don't. I don't, because I don't like it. I don't like receiving it, so therefore I will not send it.
Okay. I'm looking back through our text message conversation. And there's massive chunks of grey, which is you obviously on my phone. And then tiny, like, there's just like blue, 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 blue. Huge, massive thing of grey, blue, grey, massive grey, massive grey, blue, 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 blue. Blue. So you're actually right.
Yes.
I mean, I do it a lot.
You do it a lot. I'm actually looking at the same time as you.
Yeah, I mean, it's big chunks of grey and then loads of blues.
Yeah. But my chunks of blue are, I suppose it's different for us when we're looking at it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because so I'll be blue for you.
Your chunks are massive. Mine are individual sentences.
Yes.
Basically.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. I mean, no, I don't... I don't get annoyed with it either, though, because I never have my phone on loud, so I don't get the incessant ping.
No, I know, and I don't either, because, I mean, who the hell has their volume on their phone?
Who?
Why are you doing that?
Why?
But I think it's just... Yeah, exactly. But I think it's just that thing of, like, it is just, you know, two or three words, four words, one word, seven words, two words. And that's just annoying, because you're like, just put it all together and send me one text with everything in it.
Yeah.
And that's what I do find that annoying. And I don't know why you, but I think you're, yeah. I think your reason for doing it is right. It's because you literally, like, you know, if I send you a chunk of a message, you'll read the first line, right? So it might be, Patty, what time are you coming over? Because I need to know, because I've got to pop out and I'm going to be back around. You see the first line. What time are you coming over? 5 p.m. Sending it. Then you read the next sentence. Oh, I've got to respond to that now. Send that one. Rather than just reading it as a whole and then doing a breakdown in your own head.
Oh, God, I love you so much. I love you so much. Honestly, in this moment right now, I fucking hate you. I mean, you're right. You're right again. This whole episode.
Holy shit! I am on a fucking roll today.
You know what it is. You know what it is, don't you? I don't want to be big hat, no cattle. I'm so terrified of being labelled big hat, no cattle. I'm fucking petrified of it now. I'm like, yeah, you're right. Yeah, yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Bunch of shit. You're right. Yeah, I do that. You're right. Yeah. No, I'm so small hat. Loads of cattle. It's unbelievable.
Oh dear, Pat.
Well, I think I do it, but I've now realised it is probably dickish.
Yeah, it's just.
Yeah.
I just think you need to slow down. Read the thing as a full. Reply in a full. In a full.
Read the thing in a full.
Reply in a full.
That could go in the Urban Dictionary. replying in a full. What does that mean? It's when you reply to a text message with a full text message, you know, not in individual sentences.
Yes, yes, that is it exactly. Reply in a full.
Reply in a full. Okay, so, Ange, this is you. You're teeing this up this week.
Well, I think when we were doing our prep, we were sort of, you know, as we always get to this point, we sort of think about what we could talk about, if there's anything current. And I said to Pats that I really think in and around all the Halloween shit that obviously, you know, we do find a bit funny. We take a, you know, take the piss out of it a little bit. But I do think that there is this kind of pressure on people to have to kind of do all of this stuff all of the time. So whether it's Halloween, whether it's Christmas, whether it's fireworks, or and I just think the pressure that I think a lot of people feel to do it, and then they see other people doing it, so they think, oh, I better go and get a load of pumpkins, I better decorate the house with a load of wet. And I just think there is a real pressure on people. I just think it is something that probably a lot of people feel a lot of the time, especially at this time of year.
Well, there's a big lot of things, isn't there, in the run-up to this time of year. You've got Halloween, which lots of people now in this country do make a big thing of, which, you know, obviously, like you say, we take the piss out of it. It's absolutely fine. If you want to do Halloween, it's, you know, just like, we don't want to, that's fine too. But you've got that, then you've got fireworks night, and then it's like, I don't know, I feel like there's this pressure, isn't there, that, you know, during, like, December, you've always got to be doing something or at something or drinking, or, like, you know, it's so easy to label someone about a bar humbug. And I wonder whether what it's like for people who really suffer with social anxiety or you know, just that always, like, having to show up.
Yeah. And I think as well there is a real, I think also the financial pressure, you know, if I sort of thought, you know, how much do people spend on getting a load of stuff for Halloween, whether it's decorating the house or going to different events that are going on, or pumpkin patches or whatever, you know, and I'm sure they're not overly expensive, but it adds up. And then you've got, well, actually there's fireworks now, we've got to go to this display, or we're going to go and see so-and-so and do that, the cost of doing that. And then you start getting into those realms of, oh my gosh, and now I've got to start like trying to fund Christmas and buying gifts. Yeah. And I think that's another, I think the pressure on people, and probably, and it's probably been like this for a while, to be, and I think probably the whole kind of Instagram social media world we live in.
Oh God,
this element of kind of showing what you're doing, what you're buying, what you're gifting. And I think that there's a pressure on you kind of maybe in a social way or a pressure on you that makes you think you've got to do all of these things. If you're not doing them, then you're not being a good enough person, parent, auntie, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
And then you have the added layer of the cost of doing all this stuff.
I also think as well, it's not just about being a good enough person. It's this like being labelled as not being fun, isn't it?
Mm.
It's like if you choose to say, actually, I've been out quite a bit. We did Halloween, we did fireworks.
Yeah.
I don't want to go for that night out. Or it's like there's this sense of like, oh God, are you the fun police? Like there's this sort of narrative that is like, if you choose what is right for you, if you choose what is right for to make sure you have a good week or you rest enough at the weekend. Especially at this time of year, there's this like, it's Christmas, why aren't you drinking? It's Christmas.
Why aren't you going out?
Yeah, and you sort of think, hang on a second. It's interesting, isn't it? Because you know, alcohol is so socially acceptable and is so easily acceptable. But we know alcohol is a depressive. You know, that is a fact. I think people who struggle with, you know, anxiety, a high level of drinking can really trigger, actually, some of that anxious thinking. So for those people who are perhaps socially awkward or have social anxiety or just anxiety in general, this run-up, this like always partying season, this like, you know, got to spend money going out, because that's the other thing, isn't it? It becomes expensive going out for dinners or drinking or whatever it might be. How do we balance it? That's the thing for me. Like,
well, I think it's kind of, when I think back to sort of last year or the early part of this year, when we were still very much kind of having these sort of lockdown periods, I think I really, as much as I really missed the freedom that I had to be able to go out and be sociable or meet up with people or go to places, there was an element of me that actually really liked the fact that all of that was taken away from me. And I think maybe that is something that I think we kind of have to maybe keep reminding ourselves of, is that those times that we've lived through where you haven't been able to do it, yes, it's been difficult and it's been restricting, but actually there was a lot I took from that that made me go, I need to be more specific with what I choose to do. Absolutely. And when I know I want to do it and I want to see that person or I want to go there, I'm going to do it. But actually, I'm not going to make it that I feel like I have to do everything all the time.
Yeah.
And it's okay to go, do you know what? I was out a lot last weekend, so this weekend I'm actually just going to be at home.
Yeah.
And I'm going to just chill out. I'm going to do some stuff with my kids, or I'm going to go and see my sister. I'm just going to be more home.
Yeah.
And I think maybe that's something that, because now life is fairly normal, maybe everyone is going a bit mental and a bit crazy for doing this stuff all the time. And actually that's kind of why it is all a bit kind of maybe a bit over the top at the moment. But I just think it's just being aware of you, how you feel as a person, what maybe you can and can't cope with, and just kind of putting those boundaries in for yourself, I think.
Sorry, go on.
Well, and I just think just trying not to allow any of those sort of outside influences affect you or make you feel like, oh, I've got to be doing that and I've got to be doing this because so-and-so down the road's doing it or my mate's doing it. Do you know what? It doesn't matter.
I think as well, you're right. The pressure to spend money at Christmas is almost getting obscene, isn't it?
Like, it is. It honestly is.
Especially if you've probably got children, I think. Like this one-upmanship, like, you know, my kid got the best trainers or my kid got the best Gucci handbag or my, you know. And I think the visual world that we live in, to be able to display that so publicly.
Oh, totally.
Look, you know, it's not worth getting in that much difficulty for that one day. It's like, it's just not worth it. And I think you know, what last year taught me about Christmas was that actually the thing I missed deeply.
Yeah.
Take all the presents away. Take all the, you know, other stuff away. The thing that I missed deeply was being with you and James and mum and dad and Ian and the
time.
Kids. And, you know, like I just missed all of us being in a room together. And I think if there's anything I want to hold on to, it's that this obscene show of like, this is how much I love you. The pressure that people feel, it, especially if you've got children. I mean, I think it's so hard now. Mm. You know, when you and you know, the other thing for me, isn't it? It's like, God, this notion of Father Christmas is lovely and amazing. But for those kids in school, you know, that go into school and hear that somebody got a PlayStation.
Yeah.
And they got a selection box. And it's like, you know, God, this whole like notion of like, it's how good you've been is what you get. Mm-hmm. And there's just some kids out there whose family save all year and still couldn't ever match up to a pair of Nike Air trainers, a PlayStation 2 football kit, and you know, whatever else. And I think, you know, we've got to start to say in society that stuff really doesn't matter.
No.
It really, really doesn't matter. Mm. I can't imagine what it must, the pressure of being a parent and this rolling around and thinking, how are we going to get them all the things that they have asked for and still stay afloat? Like, I think that is.
Totally. Yeah. And I think, you know, you've only got to add into that, you know, I have a birthday in November.
Yeah.
Ian has a birthday in December. You know, you think those other things don't stop. You know, there are still going to be those birthdays that are around this time of year as well, which is just another added layer. And I think it's just, I think sometimes, and I've actually been thinking about this a lot recently, is given the different Christmas we had last year, and that we couldn't be together, and like you say, I think that was so, that was the hardest part. It was, you know, take away all the other stuff, not being able to be with the people you love, that was that was the hardest part. And I sometimes think I like the idea of saying, do you know what? I'm going to, instead of getting you a gift, I want to say, we're going to go out and do this together, or actually book something in for like January or February where you say, do you know what? We're going to go and have a nice meal out together. And I'd rather put the cost to doing something like that, where I'm actually getting that time with you or with someone I love and it being, you know, something that we can remember and something that will be special for us, rather than it being something that's wrapped up in a box that, you might really like and you might use for a bit, but then eventually, you know, it gets shoved in a cupboard or you don't wear it. Or, so I think there's something around sort of creating those sort of moments and doing things with people, rather than it having to be a physical, I am giving you this scarf, or I'm giving you this, you know, and I think there's, so I think it's just, I just think it's being really conscious about the things that are important to you and trying not to allow any of those outside pressures to make you feel like you have to do any of this stuff. If you want to do it and you can afford to do it and you love doing it, great. But if you don't and you can't, then that's exactly, it should be absolutely fine for you to be that way too.
So finally, let's do a quick therapy check-in.
How did it
go? Who did you see? How did it go?
Well, no. So I'm going on Wednesday.
Oh, you're going on Wednesday. Have you spoken to anyone else?
Wednesday. Yes. And then I've had some emails with another lady, and I'm just trying to sort a time to go and see her. But basically I go on Wednesday to meet this first lady.
Okay.
Sort of my little 30-minute.
So we can hear all about that next week.
Yeah. So I'll let you know how it goes, how I feel.
Yeah.
And then you've checked in.
I started with Kate. We had Kate on the podcast, didn't we? We had if you haven't listened to that episode, she talks really interestingly about sex. She's a sexual therapist. She's a regular therapist as well, but she does a lot of sex therapy. And the thing for me with Kate is we probably have quite different opinions on the world. And I actually really like that, because she doesn't just always agree with me. She doesn't just always say, yes, I understand, that's how you feel.
Yeah.
She will say, oh, but hang on a second, Ruth. Like, what about this? You're bringing this to me. But when I love that in therapy. I don't want a therapist that is just going to appease me and make me feel fluffy and put a blanket around me and say, oh, yes, I understand. That's how you feel.
Yeah.
And she does do that as well. She's very nurturing of me. But there's a real sense in our space that she gives me a different perspective of the world. I'll never forget a conversation I had with her about forgiveness. And she said, well, you don't always have to forgive people. It doesn't always have to be the, like, we're going to sit down and we're going to talk about this and we're both going to say, I forgive you. And that was a really new kind of worldview for me. That was never. And actually, when I thought about it and I explored it a bit more, some of it I agree with her on, some of it I don't. But it was really helpful for me to think about that in that space.
In a different way.
It was a really good session. I'm seeing her again on Saturday. And I was really worried, actually. There was a lot of stuff that I needed to take to her. There's a lot of stuff happening for me personally at the moment. And there was a lot of stuff I needed to take to her. And I was, I actually felt quite anxious the night before. I was like, how am I going to start saying some of this stuff? How am I going to actually get into a space where I talk about it? But I think because I've seen her before and I trust her and the work we did together sort of almost a year ago, actually, a year ago, pretty much, was so beneficial to me, and she was so great for me. As soon as we met virtually, and as soon as I flicked on the camera and we started talking, it was really good. Yeah, she was, and I left. I thought I'd left feeling quite exhausted and emotional, but I didn't. I left feeling like, okay, there's some really interesting stuff for me to think on for the next week, and
that's really good, Pats.
Talk about with her next week. So it was very, very, very helpful. Very good.
Good. I am pleased. Yeah. I mean, I'm feeling a little bit. I'm actually not worrying too much about Wednesday, actually, because it is just a little 30-minute
intro. Yeah.
Say hi. How do you feel? Like, do you think you can talk?
And you know, just remember, if it's not right, if she doesn't feel right, owe her nothing.
Exactly.
It's the one place where you don't have to keep anybody happy. Like, you don't have to say, oh, yes, I'd really like to see you again if you don't think it's right for you. Because it's not cheap and you'll end up just putting money down the drain and it won't really give you the outcome that you need.
No.
You've got to be honest with yourself. And if you leave thinking, oh, no, I didn't I didn't really like the way she did that, or I didn't feel like I connected with her, definitely just say, actually, I'm going to be talking to another couple of people and I don't think this is the right. And she'll hear that all the time.
Oh, yeah. And I think that's one thing I've actually really liked about the two women already that I've been in contact with, is that they've been very kind of quick to say, look, yes, I have availability to see you. This is where I work from. This is the cost.
Yeah.
However, it would be good to have a 30-minute free of charge. I sort of think I really appreciate the fact that that's obviously as important to them as it
definitely
should be to me.
Definitely.
I'm kind of looking forward to meeting her. We'll see where we go
next week.
We shall.
Well, here we are. End of an episode. Another one gone. Season 3, episode 9. God, it's flying by, isn't it? Can't believe
it. I can't actually believe it's the 1st of November today.
I know. That is crazy, isn't it?
What the hell?
Crazy. Anyway, remember, there's loads of places you can get in touch with Ange and I. You can find us both on Instagram. I'm at Ruth Corden.
And I'm at Ange Corden. You can find us on Facebook. Just search Finding the Funny Podcast. Or you can send us an email. hello@ruthcorden.com.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode. We hope you found some bits where you've laughed along. And we'll be back next week helping you to find more of the funny.